nothing we have to fear.
The economic health of this nation has been...
four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline in the dollar.
It's a late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
It's amazing what's been going on with the economy.
Welcome.
This is Money Talks.
Money Talks.
Good morning. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest running and most respected money show on the radio. I'm Troy Harmon here today with none other than Casey Smith and Jennifer Thomas, two CFPs from our planning and implementation department at Hensler Financial. How are you guys?
Doing good, Troy. How are you?
Doing great.
Awesome. Awesome.
Glad to be here.
You like how I said that?
That was, yeah. That's well done.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. So, well done, you say. I'm saying that for the market, not so much this week, huh?
No.
Well, you know, it has its ups and downs.
Oh, yeah. Into every life, a little rain must fall. Is that what you're saying?
That was maybe poetic.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what I'm known for.
I know.
Yeah, sure. So we've got the market down a little over 1% in the past week. I mean, rising from the floor, we've got S&P 500 telecommunication services up 3.27% this week.
Gives it a bump for the year above consumer staples. So telecom is no longer the
dog.
Right.
Yeah. So it was. It's still down 7.6% year to date. Overall, the S&P 500 is positive for the year, 2.64%. We've got consumer discretionary is the big winner, 11.36%. Information technology up 11%. The other end of the spectrum, staples.
Yeah.
How many times can we talk about what's going on in consumer staples? I mean, these are the companies that when you see inflation rise, they can generally pass their input increases, the rise in price of the products, their raw materials, if you will.
Right.
They can pass them through quicker to the consumer, and yet here we are. Inflation at 2.8%, as we learned the 12th of June, and consumer staples down 8.33%. Now, for the week, they were up 84 basis points, 0.84%.
Yeah, if you look at this week, it almost, I mean, this would be a stereotypical recessionary type of week. I mean,
sure,
you get the leading companies, telecom, utilities, energy,
right,
real estate, consumer staples.
With information technology, the absolute laggard.
Bottom. So
yeah,
we've seen a reversal of what we've seen for the past, you know, few months, I guess, or even longer.
Yeah, the market was down overall for the week.
It was.
You know, it this actually makes sense to me.
Right.
The past week's returns, they, you know, like them or not, they do seem
there's
to make sense.
Some logic behind it.
Right. Yep. You got companies that pay dividends rising a little bit. Those that, you know, utilities, who's going to turn the lights off because you have a recession? I mean, you're still going to live. You're still going to use your telephone. You're still going to spend your money on gas.
I don't know about y'all, but the lights in my house went off just without my control last night.
Oh, is that that's got to be weather related, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You forgot to pay your bill?
Well, that that hasn't happened yet.
But. Well, that'd be embarrassing. You call the power company and say, the lights are off at my house. And they say, yep.
Yeah, we did that.
They'd be off at ours, too, if we left the power on and you don't pay your bill.
Yeah.
All right, so we do have quite a bit of information as far as the economy goes on the week. New home sales came in to the upside for May. They were led by strong increase in purchases in the South. Sales increased 6.7% from the revised April total, and they're up 14.1% from May of 2017, so a year ago. You're starting to see a little bit of a tightening in the market. It was still the same story, though, for new home sales at least. Not much inventory. So, you know, that's still got to be the big thing that's driving is lack of inventory. We saw home prices, existing home price appreciation, decelerated slightly. Doesn't mean it wasn't positive. It's just not growing as fast. The 20-city index dropped 6.6 in April, dropped to 6.6% in April, down from 6.7% higher in the previous month in March. And there is 2 months lag on this. You did hear that right. This was April numbers, and we're just getting them. It's June.
Right.
The 10-city composite declined to 6.2%. Now, it didn't really decline. It just decelerated. So it's a slowing in growth.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that's clear. Overall, you know, the housing picture is still relatively solid. Not much to worry about there. Consumer confidence, this is one that we'll get numbers from this usually a couple of times a month. Consumer confidence dipped 2.4 points in June, falling to 126.4 as consumer expectations fell to their lowest level since December. There's two aspects to this, present situation and then expectations. Present situation was rated favorably, but it faltered negative business news, and income expectations pulled down the consumer confidence.
So what do you think is driving that? Is that tariff related too?
It might be. I mean, when you inundate people with specific news about things that are going on in the market, hey, it could even be, you know, we've had lots of immigration news lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say exactly what is going to drive consumer sentiment, but you know, the tariffs are all over in the news, right?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the tariffs for a second. Now,
we
just had a little meeting where you informed us of some information about the tariffs, and
yeah,
thinking that there may not be as impactful as everybody is making it out to be.
Right. Well, there's a couple of things. And I've said this, you know, since we started hearing the first rumblings of potential tariffs. Number one, I still believe that it's a negotiation tactic that
right.
Trump is using to try to get tariffs lowered. But one of the major television sources for information news, CNBC, had a guy on this week, and he was talking about the fact that, that while we're all focused on this, it seems that China is probably less in the driver's seat in this case,
mm-hmm.
being that we really don't sell them very much. Probably the biggest thing is some of the agricultural goods, and one of them is pork. But if they have looked to see just exactly what might happen, and as it turns out, it looks as if the U.S. pork producers could still sell goods to another country who could then turn around and sell them to China. The first sale to the other country would be tariff-free, and then the sale to China would also be without tariffs.
Yeah,
so
they can create
they just
sort
get
of a
secondary roundabout.
Market.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Kind of a loophole, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, all things considered, we are the world's consumer. So if we start putting tariffs on the goods that you sell, you export from your economy to import into ours, then it might be a little more impactful. Some of the things you've seen as far as the yuan or renminbi, it's called various things in various places, but China's currency, basically. Over the past couple of weeks, we've seen a huge devaluation, about 3.5%, which is pretty substantial.
Yeah, that's a big move
for a foreign currency.
Yeah.
We have seen that change. So, you know, it's this is really the biggest reaction China is having to our tariffs. The first official tariff doesn't go into place until July 6th. That being the case, it's, you know, there's still some time, but it's obviously
surely the Chinese are not manipulating their currency.
Oh, they've been currency manipulators for many, many years. They're good at it. They've got, here's the thing. You got to have, lots of other assets in order to make your currency look kind of the way you want it to.
Right.
And obviously a country that's a net exporter, it's beneficial to them to have a cheaper currency than others. It makes their goods look relatively more attractive than, you know, a country with a stronger currency. So
right.
That's what they're doing. They're trying to build it in. And I've noticed over the last, year to date, I think it is, that the Shanghai Composite looks to be down greater than 10%, where, I just mentioned S&P 500 is year to date. Yeah, 2.6%.
Yeah, so we're almost halfway through the year, still showing positive on the S&P.
Yeah.
You guys still looking at a positive outlook for the remainder of the year?
Absolutely. I think we will finish the year probably, the long-term average has been 10.5%, a little better than 10.5% per year for a long time. I don't think we'll have a year like that, but it wouldn't be surprising to me to see the S&P 500 to finish positive around 6-8% year to date, or in 2018 for the total year. All right, guys, well, let's get toward a break. We'll come right back and have a dog of the week for you.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.